Call me Peely Dan because I'm reeling in the sunburn.
Jesus fuck.
Don't worry, Colin. You're just going to sound more sexy. You're welcome.
Nothing like a dying boy to sound sexy.
Mira, shut up.
I can't. Steely Dan has literally done so many songs.
I heard that, Peely Dan.
Yeah, because my forehead is peeling from the horrible sunburn I got over the weekend.
I do not get it.
Peely Dan.
I love pizza rolls so much.
All right, you have to stop talking now.
I know.
Some content may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion advised. So, what are we doing this week, Colin?
It's our 60th episode. And 60 is the number of... Actually, there's no fucking science to this. We're just doing a joint episode because it's a multiple of 10. Mm-hmm. But the other half of that is because the number 60, we already went through this, nothing to do with the number 60. We're doing dictators.
Six dicks. Taters.
Six taters.
Six dicks taters. We're not
six
talking
snacks, about six snacks.
We are not talking about six dictators. We are talking about one dictator each.
Two. But actually.
One dictator each.
No, that's 1 + 1 = 2.
Okay, well, let's get on the dictator train.
Choo-choo.
Choo-choo.
Let's get on the dick tater train.
Yeah. Oh, put your seatbelt on.
Oh.
Should we do it together?
Well, we could do it twice.
Oh, period. Oh, my God. Oh. Okay. So, we're going to Africa. We have a lady, and her name is Marie Madeleine Yemo.
Yemo.
And we have a boy, and his
welcome
name.
Welcome, boy.
And Jesus Christ. And his name is Alberic. Fuck. Sorry. Oh yeah, B Money. That's what I called it because I looked up the like pronunciation on Google, and it sounded like she was saying B Money, but it's Bimani. But I just spelled out B Money. So that's Dad. Bimani, and he's Papa. A cook for a Belgian judge, because at the time, so we're in like the Republic of Congo area.
Okay, thank
right?
you for answering Sorry. All those questions
so
I just had.
We are in the Republic of Congo area, which was heavily colonized.
Belgianized.
If you
a lot of waffles.
So many waffles, dude, everywhere. Everything was made out of waffles in the Congo. It was weird.
You had waffle houses, waffle theaters.
Ugh. Waffle houses. That's a good one. Oh my God. You need to do what we're doing more often.
Record the podcast. Yeah, every week.
Yeah, every week. Okay, so Bimani and Yemo get together. And they have...
I thought they were siblings. They are not siblings.
They are not. It's just the lady and a guy. They get together and they have a kid. Okay? Uh-huh. Welcome, baby.
Welcome, baby.
And their kid is named Mobutu. They were all a member of the Nimbandi ethnic group in Lesala, Belgian Congo. So that's where we are. And it is 1930. Way back. Way back. We got in the time machine. I confused you all. Didn't give you any specifics. Punched you in the face and then
Wait,
kicked you out.
Wait, how way back?
1930.
Oh.
Way back. You know, not even 100 years ago. So, Bimani, Mobutu's dad... dies when Mobutu is 8, and the Belgian judge that he worked for, that judge's wife really liked Mobutu.
Uh-huh.
And so she taught him how to speak, how to read, and how to write fluently in French,
uh-huh.
which was the official language of the country in the colonial period. Okay. We're learning French.
We love white people swinging their dicks around.
Yeah, it's fucking amazing, dude. I'm doing that thing where I'm not blinking and I'm squinting at you.
It's not even something I said. It's just white people.
Fucking goddamn it. I gotta rub my eyes for this one. Welcome back to eye rubbing ASMR.
This is why we don't talk about dictators every week. Because we wouldn't have eyes, we'd just rub them away.
I can't. Welcome back. Okay, so... Mom, who Yemo, relied on the help of like relatives to support her now family of four because of Mobutu, and the family moved like pretty often. And then Mobutu's earliest education took place in the capital, Leopoldville, in the Belgian Congo. So.
Great.
Yeah. Sounds about white. You know? Anyways, so his mother eventually sent him to an uncle that lived in, Coquilletville. Let me spell that for you. Coquilhatville.
This is why French people are the fucking worst.
Go off. Get them. Get their asses.
Like, you could be fucked up and be white, right? Be a fucked up white person, right?
Mm-hmm. You sure can.
But French people are the type that are like, we're going to rub our dicks over everything.
Yeah.
And
everyone's smear all the words together.
Yeah, everyone's going to think it's hot. Everyone's going to think it's sexy. And we're just going to ignore normal rules of language.
Yep.
And just have an alphabet that speaks completely different.
Yep.
And just make up rules because with Flint.
Get him. We will roll. This is a French. Do whatever I want. Words are hard in our language. Okay. Anyways, now that I'm back. So that's a dumb way to spell a place. So he goes to dumb place name or dumb name place. And
Cockyville or something?
Coquilletville.
Coquilletville. I thought, here's how I thought it was called.
Coquille, girl.
Coquilletville.
He just did that all in finger spelling and sign language as well. Thank you.
On my non-dominant
for the hard of hearing.
Too, which is like...
on the podcast. You know?
But Coquilletville?
Yeah.
Are you fucking serious?
I'm probably saying it wrong.
No, but that's funny because I spelled it redneck as hell.
Yeah, you did spell it redneck. Coquilletville. Coquilletville. Tell you what, we're in the French Belgian Congo of Africa.
France is just the Texas of Europe.
Belgian, France, Congo. It's all so fucked. Anyways.
Sorry, keep going.
Okay. So he goes to school at a Catholic mission boarding school, and he was fucking tall as shit as a kid, and he ended up being over 6 feet tall, like, as an adult. So he's a big boy, and he played a lot of sports, and he really liked school.
Did he play football?
Probably.
Probably soccer.
If it was a thing. Probably soccer.
As in football, non-American.
Football. But he was, like, really good at sports. He was academically good. And he even ran the class newspaper.
Fuck around.
He was doing it all. He was a popular kid. He was also a little prankster. And he had a good sense of humor as well, obviously.
I'll be the judge of that.
Pranks. Yeah, let me see your prank compilation video on YouTube.
Let's hear your fucking comedy podcast.
Yeah. So in 1949, so he's 19, he stowed away on a boat and traveled down the river from where he was living to Leopoldville, where he met a girl. So he's being scandalous.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's sneaking out at night and getting on a boat to come and see me.
Ooh, prankster. Such a prank. Belgian Congo Steve-O.
So the priests that were in charge of the school that he was in found him several weeks later. So he was... doing something. Bucking. Probably. Bucking. I don't know.
Or taking her out to dinner.
A lot.
Making her tuna salad sandwiches.
Buying her flowers. Going to the movies.
Courting her. They always had to have someone with them. Make sure they didn't fuck accidentally.
Accidentally? Oh my god! It just slipped in!
I'm falling!
Stepbrother. Anyways, so at the end of the school year, in lieu of being sent to prison, he was ordered to serve 7 years in the colonial army called the Force Republic.
Hell yeah.
Fucking corny as shit, bro. And this was a normal punishment.
Sounds like a dance troupe.
Mm-hmm. The Force Republic. It's just a bunch of white dudes in sweatpants doing like hip hop moves.
One Republic sister show.
Force Republic. It's their backup dancers. Yes. So that was a normal punishment for rebellious students of this Catholic mission school.
Go to dance school?
No.
Dance army?
Yeah, dance army. To join the army.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
or the military, you know?
That's wild.
So, but Mobutu enjoyed military life. He found peace with the disciplinarian side of things, you know? And he also found a father figure in his sergeant, Louis.
Right inside him.
Louis Bobozo. So, I literally didn't make any of this up.
I know.
Okay. Good. So, he kept up with his studies by borrowing European newspapers from the Belgian officers. And he was, like, reading books wherever he could find them. And he was just reading a lot. He was educating himself, you know? So, after... This is confusing, and I didn't question it, and I should have. And you are going to. After passing a course in accounting, Mobutu began to dabble professionally in...
Accounting?
Journalism. Somebody riddle me. I'm sorry.
Let's go back to the whole school newspaper. And then he goes into accounting.
Takes one course in accounting, and then he decides he's going to be a journalist. He passed a course in accounting.
Oh, it wasn't like he got a degree in accounting. No. Okay, here's what I imagine. He's writing the school newspaper. Mm-hmm. He goes off to, like, secondary ed, whatever that's called there. Is it still college? I don't know. He goes, and he's like, I want to be an accountant, because accountant equals money. And then he found out that accounting isn't
sucks.
Equals money. It's about, like,
accounting numbers. Sucks. Free press rules.
Exactly. Yeah. He's like, no, I want to go back to writing little stories.
Little tidbits and tales. And, titillating.
He goes on to work for the Leader in Press in Springfield, Missouri.
Could you imagine? Okay, so he was still pretty angry after, like, he was holding a lot of resentment towards the priests that sent him off to military world, I guess. And he decided not to get married in a church to his first wife. So his only contribution to the wedding was a crate of beer. Which is all that his army salary could afford. And
what the fuck?
Yeah, crazy, dude. Crazy. So,
how big was the crate? 30 racks?
Six pack. It's a pick six. You get to pick the craft beers you
want. They're all the worst ones.
Yeah, they're all like.
They only have six beers in the store.
Extra double hazy IPA made with snake piss or something stupid.
I know how much you like snake piss. So I got you a six-pack of...
Double hazy, extra raw, filtered, unfiltered...
Buffalo milk.
Triple XXL, spicy but sweet...
Spicy butt sweat.
Spicy butt sweat, buffalo snake piss venom IPA. That's what living in Colorado feels like.
Literally.
So, in 1956, he quits the army and becomes a full-time journalist, writing for the Leopoldville Daily L'Avenir.
L'Avenir?
L?
I don't care. Let's keep going.
Okay, so... So, 2 years later, he went to Belgium to cover the 1958 World Expedition. Ah! And he stayed to receive training in journalism. By this time, he had met many of the young Congolese intellectuals.
Congolese? Whoa, fuck around.
So, he, like, met many a smart Congolese person. And they were, like, challenging the colonial, like, white rule of Congo. So, he becomes friendly with the prime minister, Patrice Lumumba, and joins Lumumba's Congolese National Movement. So we are in, bitch.
Yep.
We are in the government, and we're going to do something. Yet.
I have a hunch.
Why?
A slight hunch.
Why?
No reason.
So Mobutu eventually became Lumumba's personal aide, and several people have indicated that Belgian intelligence had recruited Mobutu to be an informer to the government, but, like, I don't know about all that. Let's think about who...
Let's think about conspiracies
first.
Let's
talk about DIA. So, following the 1960 general election in Congo, Lumumba was tasked with creating a government. We're creating a government!
Love that. Love when we
How old do you want it to be? What color hair do you want it to have? Is it going to wear a wig? Creating a government? It's like creating a sim.
I was thinking, like, Build-A-Bear.
Build-A-Bear, yeah. Create a government.
Stuff it up the butt with stuffing.
Yeah, right up there. So Lumumba gave Mobutu the office of Secretary of State to the Presidency. So we are up there, baby. We're
daughter
uppies.
To the Secretary of the Master of Horses. Yeah. The King of England.
Yeah.
King France? Something. Belgian.
Mm. It was my episode, Congo. And I have no idea. So, spoiler alert, Mobutu held much influence in the final determination for the rest of this country's government.
Yay!
Yeah! Woo! Play the thing. Yay! So, let's get into it, bitch. Let's get into it. Mutiny alert! There's Yay! A mutiny! So, it is July 5th of 1960. Soldiers of the Fourth Republic, stationed at Camp Leopold in Leopoldville, were dissatisfied with their all-white leadership and unfair working conditions. So they fucking mutiny, bitch. Mutiny. It's a mutiny! Woo, woo, woo! So, the revolt spread across the region in, like, a matter of days after that, and Mobutu assisted other officials in negotiating with the mutineers, the three mutineers,
hell yeah,
to secure the release of the officers and their families, right?
Uh-huh.
So, on July 8th, the full Council of Ministers convened in a session under the chairmanship of the president of Congo, okay? President of the Republic of Congo.
Wait, run that by me again.
Okay. So, on July 8th, there is a council of ministers that are in the Congo government. And they convened in a session called by the president of the Congo, who is Joseph Kasavubu.
Right.
And they have this meeting, and they're like, at Camp Leopold, and they're like, you know what we need to do? We need to Africanize the region.
Fuck yeah.
Let's make it less white, bitch. Sounds good. Whatever. Sounds good to me. So, Mobutu was considered for Army Chief of Staff in this role, right? Because of his calm and thoughtful demeanor. So, we're calm.
And we're thoughtful.
We're thoughtful. And we are going to be the Army Chief of Staff.
Yay!
So, in the end, Mobutu was given the role and awarded the rank of colonel. Ooh, promotion. So, the Congo, right? It's in Africa, right? So, or the Republic of Congo, I should be saying, instead of just Congo. But that's what I have in my notes. So, they are, like, very rich in natural resources at the time, like the 1960s. Very, very rich. Like, diamonds, coal, copper, other expensive things that come from the ground.
China.
Okay, sure. All right. So, the Belgian government, who is in charge of the Republic of Congo, are like, hey, you guys can't change your rules and start, like, overthrowing us because we want your shit.
Yeah.
We want all the stuff that's in the ground
that's
underneath
you.
Yeah,
little problems.
Yeah, little problem. So there were a lot of secessioners, so, like, people pulling away from the Belgian government, and violence, like, fucking erupted in the south of the Republic of Congo. And concerned that the United Nations force sent to help restore order was not helping to get rid of these people, these protesters, basically, Lumumba turned to who for assistance?
The Belgians?
No. Worse.
North Korea.
Worse.
U.S.?
Worse.
Hitler.
The Soviet Union.
Ah.
The communists. Damn. They keep rearing their ugly head on this podcast, man. So that's not a good move on Lumumba's part because of communism. And we're like starting to get near the Cold War, you know, but we're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
We're not like really Cold War-y. Pre-Cold War. So this is 1960.
Okay.
Right. Yep. So don't fuck with the Russians. Like we know.
Putin on a horse.
Did that clear it up for you at all?
Yeah, that was okay. Absolutely clear.
Okay. So Lumumba reaches out to the Soviet Union and he's like, hey, I need some help.
Uh-huh.
And the Soviet Union's like, I bet. So they send military aid, like a massive military aid, and 1,000, like around
military sized aids.
Oh no. And they also sent about 1,000 Soviet technical advisors within 6 weeks. So Lumumba said, please, Daddy Soviet Union, I need help. And Soviet Union said, whatever you want, baby.
Yeah.
I'll get it for you.
Daddy Soviet.
Take my credit card.
Provide.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Take my credit card.
So the U.S. government was fearing that the Soviet activity in the Republic of Congo was like their way of like sneaking into Africa and like getting communism all over the place, you know, just getting it on everything.
Yeah.
The chairs, the walls, the floors. It's communism. It's just red paint and vodka. Red paint mixed with vodka. So Casa Vubu.
That's just paint thinner, I'm pretty sure.
Hell yeah. Okay, so Casa Vubu was, so the president.
I keep thinking you're talking about a place.
Mm-mm. So Casa Vubu is a person. It's the president.
Yeah.
So he was encouraged by the U.S. and Belgium to dismiss Lumumba, the prime minister of one of the states, you know, so like a governor, but different. Casa Vubu did actually dismiss Lumumba. And Lumumba then turned around and said, no, you're wrong and you're crazy and now you have no power.
Wow, wow.
So then Parliament for Belgium is like, no, this is stupid. Can you guys just make up and we'll figure it out later, you know? And no agreement was ever reached. So everybody's pissed and everybody's arguing and nothing's getting done. Enter our boy Mobutu. So Lumumba and Casa Vubu, they're beefing, right?
Yep.
And they each ordered Mobutu to arrest the other person.
Have a plate of fries. They each ordered him.
They each ordered a small side salad with a soup and unlimited breadsticks.
So they're unlimited breadsticks. They're just like, I'm going to kick this guy out.
No. So they each ordered Mobutu, who is the army chief of staff.
Yes.
To arrest the other person.
Fuck yeah.
So political mom and dad are fighting.
That's hilarious.
So on September 14th of that year, Mobutu launches a coup. We're just going to get it out of the way with a cute little coup. And he declared both the president and the prime minister to be, quote, neutralized and established a new government of university graduates, calling it the College of Commissioners General.
What the fuck?
So we are just making shit up. Making it up, bitch. So Lumumba rejected this. He was like, no, you fucking can't do that. I have more power than you.
Duh.
And was eventually forced to retire somehow. I'm sure his life was threatened or something. And UN peacekeepers had to prevent Mobutu's soldiers from arresting him. So he was basically being babysat by the UN because Mobutu's like, get him. Get him. I'm the army guy. And you're my army. Go get him. You have to listen to me. It's the rules. So on the day of the coup, Mobutu showed up unannounced at the UN headquarters in Leopoldville and refused to leave.
Mommy, I'm staying the night.
He said, you know what? I'm going to be a Karen at 4:59 in the morning outside of a Starbucks, 1 minute before they open.
Excuse me.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Anyone there?
Hello. Please let me in. You have to let me in. This is public property. I'm allowed to be here.
I have a 5:15 meeting. You better make my coffee now.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be at work yesterday. Hurry up.
It's your fault I'm late.
Mm-hmm. So he
Yeah, that's the worst kind of Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Is like a Karen without caffeine.
Mm-hmm. Don't talk to my Karen before she's had some caffeine.
Yeah. Exactly.
Don't talk to my Karen before I've had my morning cup of coffee.
You're not the same without Snickers if you're hungry.
The worst types of Karens. Number one.
Uncaffeinated Karens.
Karens. Number two. Racist Karens.
Number three. Uncaffeinated racist Karens.
That's funny.
So, okay. Mobutu's in the UN headquarters, and he's like, I'm not leaving. And then the radio turns on, or someone turns on the radio, and it announces the coup. And Mobutu's so fucking excited, he's going, c'est moi, c'est moi. That's me. That's me. They're doing that because of me. You know, like so fucking proud of himself.
What a fucking fool.
Yeah. So basically the UN figured out that Mobutu was only at their headquarters in case the coup failed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in case the people that were cooing, coo, coo, were cooing, turned back on him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, had some sense talked into him, so he just wanted to go hide at daddyunheadquarters.com store.
Or if they failed and everyone starts coming after him.
Yeah. So, Lumumba fled the area in late November to join his supporters in Stanleyville. Sounds like a place in Ohio, if you ask me. And Lumumba's like, okay, we're going to go to Stanleyville and we're going to establish a new government and then we're going to come back at Mobutu and we're going to get it figured out.
Yay!
Don't worry about it. And then he was captured by Mobutu's troops in early December and thrown in prison. And then he was in prison and Mobutu's like, I don't trust him. He's doing something. He's still a threat to me in my life, even though he's behind bars. So he transferred him to the current rebelling state of Katanga, which was within the Republic of Congo.
That's where all the katanas are made.
Mm-hmm. On January 17th of 1961. So this is all happening in 1960.
Ooh, 1961 shows up in my episode, too.
So Lumumba then disappears from public view.
Ooh.
What do you think happened?
He got shot up.
Yeah, he did. It was found out later that he was executed that same day.
That makes sense.
That he went missing. So, or that they transferred him to the rebelling state.
Yeah.
So they probably didn't. They probably just took him out back like old Yeller at his ass, you know?
It's like, we're going somewhere special.
We're going to the farm now. Lumumba's like, okay, sounds good to me. So on January 23rd of 1961, Kasavubu promoted Mobutu.
You get to play with other dictators.
You're going to go play with all the other dictators. So January 23rd, 1961, Kasavubu promoted Mobutu to major general. So the president gives him a little promotion.
He wasn't just a general. He was major general.
Well, yeah, he was not a minor, not a chromatic, not a pentatonic, a major, all right? Music jokes. Well, so if you think about it,
if you really think about it, man.
If you think about it, Mobutu did what Kasavubu wanted, right? Yeah. Like, the president wanted the prime minister dead, and Mobutu ended up doing it, you know?
Yeah.
So Kasavubu's like, you know what? Here's a promotion. Thank you.
You get to be prime minister now.
Yeah. So there's a rebellion in 1964, and it's against our two butt buddies, the president and Mobutu. Yeah. And this rebellion quickly occupies 2/3 of the Congo, right? In response, the Congolese army, led by Mobutu, reconquered the entire territory for the whole year. They're just fucking it up, you know, for a whole year. And then on November 30th of that year, Parliament approved a measure which turned over most legislative powers to Mobutu and his cabinet, though it retained the right to review his decrees. So Mobutu can do whatever he wants with his power, but his cabinet can review all of his new rules, basically.
Okay.
Which
is a lot, I feel like.
Yeah, it is a lot. So, and it's kind of unnecessary because we'll find out. So in 1966, the Corps of Volunteers of the Republic was established. We have a lot of clubs going on.
Yeah.
Here in the Republic of Congo. So this was a vanguard movement, and it was designed to mobilize popular support behind Mobutu, who was proclaimed the nation's second national hero after Lumumba, the guy that he said was trying to kill him. So my man is just bonkers at this point, you know, really doing whatever the fuck he wants. So he, like, really tried so hard to present himself as a successor to Lumumba's legacy.
Yeah.
Even though he fucking got the guy killed.
Yeah.
You know? And then that same year, in 1966, Mobutu starts renaming cities that had European names with more authentic African names.
I'm all for
that. Period. So Leopoldville became Kinshasa. Stanleyville.
Oh, I know where that is.
Mm-hmm. Stanleyville became Kisangani. And Elizabethville became Lubumbashi. Sounds good to me. I don't know. Yeah. I'm so white. So, let's get hung. So Mobutu started.
If you're already hung, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Now that I have to play the sound of me leaving.
Clap, 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 clap. It's your butt cheeks clapping together.
I was like wondering who was clapping.
So Mobutu starts consolidating his power by publicly executing political rivals.
Yay, we love that.
The coup plotters, which sounds like a sick band name. Band name called it coup plotters.
That sounds too much like if you don't know what coup you're talking about, it sounds like Ku Klux Klan. So don't do that.
Okay. Never mind.
Unless you pronounce
someone it else coop. Can have it. Coop platters. Plotters.
Then people don't know if they're getting into a two-door or if they're just bad at French.
All right. So to set an example, many people were hanged before large audiences. Hanged.
Hanged? Do I always get it wrong? Because I think it's the other way around.
It's hanged, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you please stop
hitting your mic?
Did you call me Pancake?
No, I was going to say, please stop, but I might as well. So there was a prime minister for another state, and he, along with three cabinet members, were all hanged on May 30th of, I don't
1961.
Have the year, 1966, maybe? Sorry, 1966.
Yeah, you did say that.
And this was before an audience of about 50,000 spectators.
Jesus.
So we are just...
public as fuck.
Yeah, public as hell. Never once hit the private button on Twitter. So in 1968, fast forwarding a little bit, Lumumba's minister of education and a rebel leader during a rebellion that happened 4 years earlier was lured out of exile in Brazzaville on the belief that he would receive amnesty. They fucking tricked him. He's a prankster. He got fucking pranked.
Went to prank school and everything.
And then, spoiler warning, spoiler warning, spoiler warning, spoiler warning. Not spoiler warning. Trigger warning, trigger warning, trigger warning. Trigger warning. Skip ahead a couple seconds if you don't like gore. But the prime minister of education was tortured and killed by Mobutu's forces. While he was still alive, his eyes were gouged out, his genitals were ripped off, and his limbs were amputated one by one, which is a little overboard, if you ask me.
That's a lot of parts coming off.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
Yeah, and for what?
Just fun, I'm sure.
Yeah, okay.
Proving a point. Making a point out of someone.
Oh, right. To set an example.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, let's talk about NPR, National Public Radio.
National?
NPR? NPR.
National Public Radio.
You're listening to National Public Radio. So, we'll talk about what NPR actually is.
All we do is react to MASH episodes.
Ew. All right, so it's 1967, so we're going back a year. This marks the debut of the popular movement of revolution, NPR. I don't know why it's like that. I don't know who decided the acronym. I don't get it. What is it? Popular movement of the revolution.
I bet you it's an African or whatever. What?
Congolese.
Congolese. African.
Well, but they spoke French.
Maybe it's French then. Do they speak Congolese and French or just French?
I don't know. I don't know.
Do they wear wigs?
I definitely not. This guy wore a really cool hat. I'll show you a picture. So,
okay, what's the line between hair and hat? Like, what ratio of hair to hat?
You mean wig to hat? All wigs are hats.
But not all hats are wigs.
Period. Look at us. We're so smart. And it's so hot.
But, okay, if you have a shaped wig that, like, shaped like a top hat.
Hat.
No, no, a wig. It has hair.
Oh,
it wig. But it's got, like, a frame to it.
Okay.
Is that a hat that's hairy, or is it a wig that's in the shape of a hat?
I think it's a hat.
Wig, final answer.
Hat, final answer. What's the answer? You only gave us two options.
Offensive. To who, Abraham Lincoln?
Could you imagine if his head was shaped like that?
Harry Abraham Lincoln. Oh my god.
Harry Abraham Liquid?
Liquid.
He takes off his hat, and his head is just in the shape of a hat.
Yeah, it's in the shape of the top hat. That's why he was assassinated.
French fry shape.
Because his head was so big. Yeah.
They actually shot the hat, not him.
They thought they missed. They thought they missed.
Fuck.
What was his name? John Wilkes Booth. Thought he missed. He didn't. Don't worry, buddy. You got him. You fucking got his ass, dude. Okay, we have to keep going. So, this revolution, the popular movement of revolution, or National Public Radio, as I like to call it, was the nation's only legal political party until 1990.
Great.
One Sounds party.
Almost as good as a two-party system.
Almost. Just one away, you know? So,
one away from hating yourself nonetheless.
So, among the themes pushed out by National Public Radio in its doctrine, they had a doctrine. So the doctrine was called the Manifesto of Nacelle. And all they talked about was nationalism, revolution, and, quote, authenticity, unquote. Whatever the fuck that means. And one of National Public Radio's slogans was neither left nor right. And eventually people started tacking on or even center to that little catchphrase that they had there.
That's funny.
So they were just really doing their own thing politically.
Politically, they were a spiral.
Yeah, just going down or up.
You know those lawn ornaments that spin? That was them.
Yeah, for sure. Their political spectrum. Just constantly, it looks like it never ends.
Yeah.
It's just infinity forever and ever, amen. So that same year, 1967, all the trade unions were consolidated into a single union. The National Union of Zarian Workers. And we'll talk about the word Zarian in a second. And all of the trade unions were brought under government control. So that's not what a union is. No. Last time I checked, but sounds good. Mobutu intended for the union to serve as an instrument of support for government policy rather than as an independent group.
He was a banjo.
Yes.
Huh? Instrument.
Oh, yes. So independent trade unions in Zaire? We'll get back to the name. They were illegal until 1991 under Mobutu's rule.
Love that.
1970, 3 years later. Nearly all potential threats to Mobutu's authority have been fucking destroyed. No threats whatsoever. Law and order was brought to nearly all parts of the country.
Special Victims Unit.
And Law and Order Special Victims Unit was live broadcasted 24/7 to all parts of the country.
They had one episode.
Yep, it was just constantly playing. It's just a psychological warfare tactic.
If you want to hire us for Jokes Club, go over to learnabasement.com. Oh, that's the sound. Trailer music? Credits music? Theme music. Sounds exactly like this.
It does.
It'll be out on Spotify next week.
Acapella version. Just me sitting here in the basement. So this is where Mobutu peaks. It's all downhill from here, baby.
He peaked in high school.
I'm peaking. I'm peaking. So presidential and legislative elections were still held. And the Constitution allowed for the existence of two parties. And guess who was the only one allowed to nominate parties?
Mobutu?
No, National Public Radio. So Mobutu was the only presidential candidate. And voting was not secret. It was not like a confidential thing. You either chose a green paper if you supported Mobutu, or a red paper if they opposed. So Mobutu was confirmed in office with a near unanimous support, garnering 10,131,669 votes.
Let me guess. There were only 8 million people in the country.
Guess how many no votes there were?
Zero.
157.
Oh, my gosh.
Later, we find out
that those 157 people got deleted.
Probably. But we also find out later that almost 30,000 of those votes were cast and they were fake votes.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. So there were 30,000 more votes cast than registered voters.
Yeah.
So Mobutu sets up several military forces in the meanwhile, whose sole purpose was to just protect him. He had his little groups of bodyguards that would just hang out.
Yeah,
so, love that. 1971. Mobutu named Congo, or renamed Congo, to the Republic of Zaire. It's Z-A-I-R-E. Zaire? Zare?
Zare. Zale. Gallery of
Zales. Every kiss begins with Zales. So, 1972. In accordance with his own decree of an earlier year, Mobutu renamed himself, ready for this one, Mobutu Sese Seko Nukuku Nubendu Wazabanga. Would you like me to translate for you? Okay.
If you can.
The all-powerful warrior who, because of his endurance and inflexible will to win, goes from conquest to conquest, leaving fire in his wake. That's what his whole fucking name is. He just renamed himself. That whole fucking thing. Could you imagine trying to spit that out if he just snuck up on you?
That's a long name.
Hi, my name is National Public Radio. Okay, so 1974, new constitution alert.
Yay!
New constitution, yay. So it defined National Public Radio as the single institution in the country. Okay? And all citizens automatically became members of the National Public Radio from birth.
What the fuck?
And the constitution stated that the NPR was embodied by the party's president, who was elected every 7 years at its national convention. The party president was automatically nominated as the sole candidate for a 7-year term as president of the republic. Mobutu was confirmed in office by a referendum, basically. Circular logic.
Yeah.
He just logicked himself right into that bitch.
Yeah.
The document codified the emergency powers Mobutu had exercised since 1965. Mm. And he basically had, like, all power in his hands. He could literally do whatever the fuck
he wanted. I kind of broke the rules before, but now I want to rewrite the
rules. I'm going to rewrite the rules so that they work for me.
Yeah.
You better work, bitch. So, Mobutu was reelected 3 times under this system.
21 years.
21
wow.
years. Each time by implausibly high margins of 98% or more. So, we got a lot of fraud going on here. A lot of election fraud. 1975. Formal voting at this year's election was dispensed with altogether. We got rid of it. We don't want it.
Why are we wasting time pretending?
We're going to do something else. You know what we're going to do? We are going to elect by acclaim. Oh. So the candidates were presented at public locations around the country where they could be applauded. So it's literally like at summer camp when you put your hand over like the best dancer.
Yeah.
And everybody has to cheer for the best one, you know?
Yeah.
So let's talk about family really quick. We haven't really touched on Mobutu's family. We know that he got married at some point and he was like, fuck the church, I'm bringing beer. That's what he said. So altogether, Mobutu had 21 children.
Wow.
So with his first wife,
every year in office.
Yep. He had 9 children with his first wife, 4 children with his second wife, three children with his mistress and twin sister of his second wife, with a someone named Mama 41. We had three more children, a random person. We had a one more, and then an unknown woman from Brazzaville, one named Robert.
He does not know the pullout method.
No, absolutely not. Dun, 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 dun. Here comes the bribe. We're bribing people. We're bribing people. So a favorite Mobutu tactic was to play musical chairs, rotating members of his government.
Oh my God.
So he would constantly...
I thought you literally meant musical chairs.
No, but that'd be so funny. Come on, guys, we're playing musical chairs. He like gets so excited every time.
That's what I thought.
Can you like play Ring Around the Rosie, please?
Please.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. What's that one? Pop Goes Weasel. Anyways, so he would like reshuffle his cabinet members often. And between November of 1965 and April of 1997.
Shit, man.
Mobutu reshuffled his cabinet 60 times. That's like two-ish times a year.
You can't let them get too good at their job because right. then you get thrown out.
Yeah, because then they're going to be better than you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want that. So that behavior really encouraged insecurity in his, you know, his people, his yeah. cabinet members. And so they knew that Mobutu would reshuffle his cabinet with no regard for efficiency and competence. And the frequency that men entered and left the cabinet also encouraged corruption, because ministers never knew how long they might be in office, so they have to steal as much as fucking possible while they're there. We have to exploit this ASAP. That's now. That's
crazy.
So another tactic was to arrest and sometimes torture protesting members of the government, only to later pardon them and reward them with high office. So he said, you, I'm gonna pull out all of your eyebrow hairs one at a time because you're bad. And then he'll like do that, and then he'll be like, you did so good. Do you want to be in charge?
Do you want to be in our club?
Do you want to be in our little...
We got through the hazing.
Yeah.
You can come.
Congrats. Come on. Come here. So as early as 1970, it was estimated that Mobutu had stolen 60% of the national budget that year, marking him as one of the most corrupt leaders in Africa.
Wow.
Dun, dun, dun. In 1972, Mobutu tried to unsuccessfully... have himself named president for life. That didn't work. And in 1973-74-ish, Mobutu launched his, okay, Zarianization campaign.
Oh no, fuck off.
Where he nationalized foreign-owned businesses that were then given to the people of Zaire.
Oh, okay. I'm not opposed to that.
I'm not opposed to that either until he takes a little trip to China.
Uh-huh.
And he comes back and he's like, the cultural revolution is lit. So you know what we need to do? We need to shift all the way to the left. We're going hard left. Flipping a Yui, doing donuts on the left side. NASCAR. No. Yeah. NASCAR?
They go left? Left yeah, turn. They yeah. do turn left.
We know about things. So
do they build the cars differently because they only go one way?
Do you think I know the answer to that question?
Because if you only turn one way, I'm sure it like... Your left tires and your right tires don't necessarily need to be the same type of tires.
Colin.
Right?
Colin. Colin, but I know nothing about NASCAR. But if they're different tires,
then you have trouble driving straight.
What do you want?
And what about the steering? Is the left side steering somehow superior?
I bet you Jake could answer all of these questions.
Jake, let me know.
I am not the one. I am not the one, baby. Or he could fucking
find the answer.
Oh, he'll find it. Jake, hurry up. Okay, so he launches his Zarianization. So he gives all the foreign-owned businesses to the people of Zaire or Zaire. And then he goes to China, realizes that the Cultural Revolution is lit, shifts all the way to the left. We're going left. NASCAR. And announces his intention to, quote, radicalize the Zairean Revolution, unquote. The businesses that Mobutu had just given to his people were in turn nationalized and placed under state control.
He said, no, you know what? That.
Give it back.
Yeah.
Give it back. So at the same time, Mobutu also imposed a 50% salary cut to state employees, which led to a failed coup attempt against him in June of 1975. Nepotism, baby. Ooh. Nepotism, baby. Close relatives and fellow members of the Nabandi tribe were awarded high positions in the military and government, of course. And he groomed his eldest son, Naiwa? I think it's Naiwa. N-Y-I-W-A. Naiwa.
Okay.
So he was, like, training his eldest son to become president, and then Naiwa died from AIDS in 1994. So when you made that AIDS joke earlier, it made me itchy. Anyways, let's talk about some other things that Mobutu was doing now that he's in charge and doing literally whatever the fuck he wants. So he was reelected in single candidate elections in 1977 and 1984. He spent most of his time increasing his personal fortune, which in 1984 was estimated to amount to $5 billion. In 1984.
But he's like the leader of the country.
Uh-huh.
I'm not surprised.
So he...
That seems like not a lot for being a leader of a country.
He kept a lot of that money also offshore in Swiss banks.
Ah.
And that was equivalent to the amount of the country's foreign debt at the time. So the country owed a bunch of people, a bunch of different countries money. And Mobutu was like, I have the money to pay that off, but y'all got to figure that out. Yeah. It's not my problem.
Yeah. It's my money.
It's my money. You cannot have. In a speech that he delivered on May 20th of 1976, in a football stadium that was filled with some 70,000 people, Mobutu openly accepted his corruption accusations, stating, quote, if you want to steal a little in a nice way. But if you steal too much to become rich overnight, you will be caught. Thanks, buddy. Mobutu also owned a fleet of Mercedes-Benz vehicles. Mm. And he used those to travel between his numerous palaces. He wore a cool hat, in case you forgot. He also cruised on the Congo River on his yacht named Kamanyola. And in Batalite, which is a place
It's a type of rock.
Yeah. Well, it's... capital G-B-A-D-O-L-I-T-E. So.
Fuck that. Gabatolite. Oh my gosh.
Gabatolite.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. So he erected a palace, which he called the Versailles of the Jungle.
No.
Yeah. And he would constantly go on shopping trips to Paris. And he would charter a fancy private jet from Air France. And he maintained an anti-communist stance to stay popular. So he was like, I hate the Russians. Wink, wink. The evening newscast opened with an image of him descending through the clouds like a god, which is lit. And his portraits were hung in many public places, and government officials wore lapel pins with his portrait on them.
Ew.
Yeah, it's icky.
Ew.
He held titles such as Father of the Nation, Messiah, Guide of the Revolution, Helmsman, Founder, Savior of the People, and my favorite, which I will now call as a band name right now, Supreme Combatant. I want it. I want that on my body. Tattooed. So the United States was the third largest donor of aid to Zaire. After,
not saying anything.
After Belgium and France. And Mobutu befriended several U.S. presidents, including Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, and George H.W. Bush.
Ah.
Tell you what. Mobutu also accused the CIA, the American CIA, of plotting his overthrow and arrested 11 senior Zairean generals and several civilians.
Yay!
He probably had them hanged. Hanged. And then he had a bunch of weird beef with the surrounding Rwandan genocide that lasted a while. And then Zaire ended up destabilizing and Mobutu was eventually overthrown. And then he died in Morocco on September 7th, 1997 from prostate cancer at the age of 66.
Wow, wow.
And that is Mobutu. The man, the myth, the mutiny.
Intense. Yeah. The man, the myth, the mutiny.
That's it. That's all I got. That's hims.
That's great. Good job.
That's the guy. I did that all today. Are you proud of me?
I am so proud of you. Well, I've got a story for you, too.
Yeah. I love it when you tell me stories.
Buckle up, baby.
I love it when you tell me stories.
Absolutely. That's what I'm here for. We're going back all the way to 1891. We're in San Cristobal, Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Two things. First of all, there are a lot of words in Spanish. I'm going to do my very best.
Bitch, how the fuck do you think I felt?
I know exactly how you
felt. Horrified.
Because I was horrified on this
end, sorry for butchering it. I tried my best. I listened to dialect people do it.
You did pretty good. So as a refresher, the Dominican Republic is the east half of the island La Española in the Caribbean Sea. So there's this island. The west half is Haiti.
Yeah.
The east half is the Dominican Republic.
I was just going to ask if the west half was Haiti.
Yes.
Or if the other half was Haiti. Got it. I know exactly where the fuck we are.
Uh-huh. This is the same island that Christopher Columbus landed on in 1492, where he enslaved...
where he sailed the ocean blue?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The Taino people.
Okay.
And resulted in 7 million native deaths.
Ooh.
So...
Christopher, let's not do that.
Yep. Anyway, we're here. San Cristobal, Dominican Republic.
It doesn't matter. Never mind. I had a question.
Okay. A baby boy is brought into the world.
Welcome, baby.
Named Rafael Leonidas Trujillo.
Okay.
His parents were both from colonial Dominican origin.
Okay.
And they would end up having 11 kids.
Too many. Annabelle, isn't your dad one of 11? Oof.
Youngest of 11.
Youngest of 11. Her dad.
That's a lot
That's
of kids.
That's many kids in the kitchen.
It is sure a lot. As a kid, Raphael was obsessed with his appearance.
Okay.
And would attach bottle caps to his clothes to make it look like military clothes.
Weird, but okay.
Uh-huh. In his teens, Raphael discovered crime. And he began robbing post offices, stealing cattle, and counterfeiting checks.
Okay. First of all, I love that we're being obsessed with crime. You know, crime is so good. Anyways, robbing post offices?
Yeah.
Give me all your mail! What do you mean?
I want your letters.
Yeah.
I want the money from grandma.
Yeah. Give me all your birthday cards. I know it's your birthday.
I don't know. I feel like it used to be more popular to rob post offices.
Yeah. I mean, I guess banks didn't really like... you didn't have a phone app that told you how much was in your bank. You know what I mean? A lot of mailing of money. That's what I'm assuming. Mailing of goods.
I don't know. I feel like there was probably more mail going on than now.
Yep.
Except for Amazon.
The mail industry is dying. Justice for mail.
Not mails.
Justice for snail mail.
Exactly. So, yeah, he's doing crime.
I love
crime. He was in prison for a couple months, and when he got out, he formed a violent gang of robbers, and he named it. He named it the 42.
Why?
I don't know.
That's
irrelevant.
He just... Were they all 42?
I don't fucking know.
Were they all 24? Because 24 is 42 backwards?
I have no clue.
Okay. We're the 42! They got, like, leather jackets on.
Yeah.
Club shirts.
Things weren't easy politically in the Dominican Republic at the time.
Okay.
In the 50 years leading up to where we are now, 1916, there had been 28 revolutions.
Jesus Christ. That's so many revolutions.
I know.
Aren't you guys tired?
Right?
Like, what are we doing all these revolutions? Just, how about we all get together and have a meeting before we do a revolution so that we're not doing two revolutions at once?
They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have We're in a Basement podcast. They
were
bored.
You're right.
They had to do something.
We got a revolt ASAP. You guys, you know what we haven't done in a while? Revolted. We should do that.
Sometime later, Raphael had gotten his shit straight.
Okay.
And was working as a Garda Campestre.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Farm police. It's the equivalent.
It's not the farm police.
No. So literally, like...
You translated it and it's farm police?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
Well, what they do is they protect crops.
The farms.
I don't know if they're protecting the crops or if they're keeping the people in the farm working, because that's what I'm kind of wondering. If they're supervising all those workers.
No, they're making sure that none of the crops are breaking any laws.
Underage drinking.
Yeah. Stealing from the post office. That ear of corn is looking awfully suspicious.
Drug trafficking.
Tax fraud.
Yeah. So
embezzlement.
I don't think they were trying to control the crops or like make sure nobody was stealing ears of corn.
They were probably controlling the people.
Yes.
Okay.
So the United States.
The U.S. United States.
This is when the U.S. United States gets involved.
All right.
Because they saw the whole 28 revolutions in 50 years thing, and they're like, let's put our white dick in this
19-something? 16?
19?
We were meddling in 1916.
Yeah, yeah.
We couldn't even get our own shit figured out.
Nope.
Okay. Well, that's fine, I guess. Yeah.
Segregated fucking America.
Yeah. And we're like, you know what? Stop having wars. Stop revolting over there. You see how peaceful and lovely and wonderful it is here in America?
We all live together.
Yeah.
Big see house. Us all having water fountains?
Yeah. We all have one, okay? Do you guys all have water fountains?
We have women. Do you guys have women?
Huh? Do you? I don't think so.
So the United States starts occupying the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Within 2 years, Rafael joined the National Guard.
Yeah, guard but that nation.
You remember he's a little criminal. How the fuck did he, like...
How did he get into the I'm gonna shoot up everybody club?
Exactly. Isn't he, like, a former criminal? Yeah. Didn't he form a gang? A gang he named? The 42? Abso-fucking-lutely. Also, during his application for the National Guard, he was accused of forging documents. Like, his application documents.
That's like when Chris Evans did it in the Captain America movie. He forged his documents.
That's right.
Or something like that.
Or there was
he wanted to be in the... there was... Or there was definitely paper. There was definitely paper.
I remember involved. There being paper.
In at least one forgery. Of the scenes in Captain America.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, like, how the fuck is he getting in? Forged documents.
Yeah.
His mom's Captain America.
Yeah. Or something.
His mom's brother was a United States major.
Oh, nepotism.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, kind of. They grew up poor because... Okay. Basically, I don't really understand the racial dynamics in the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
But from what I gathered, being of mixed race made you a lower class.
Okay.
And they are a mixed race family.
Right.
So it's not really nepotism, except for his mom's brother working for the U.S. as a major in the army.
Yeah. That's not even really nepotism.
But no.
Yeah. Okay, not nepotism.
It's just sideways nepotism.
It's like different.
It's
like
different nepotism, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So Rafael joins the National Guard and starts training with the United States Marines.
Congrats.
Yeah. He immediately receives the rank of second lieutenant.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was fast.
Yeah, immediately. They're like, you're going to be second lieutenant.
You know what, kid? I don't care what you look like or what you sound like or how tall you are or if you can shoot a gun. You're in charge now. Go ahead.
Yep.
Kindergarten police force.
Exactly.
Criminal police force. Yikes.
That works.
Yeah.
In his first year as second lieutenant, trigger warning.
Skip, 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 go.
Rafael was accused of rape and extortion. Yeah. What did they do about it?
Yeah.
A panel of Marines acquitted him.
Oh, buddy boys being buddy boys.
Yeah, literally, what the fuck? Why do Americans need to put their pee-pee in things?
Yeah, I don't know.
We need to, like, start backing away and saying, it's not mine, I can't have it, I know nothing.
Yeah, for real. Like, the America needs to back the fuck up, put their hands up in the air, and say, fuck, this is not for me, this is none of my business, I know nothing. And just back away very slowly.
Exactly. Yeah. Hold your horses, though. This just gets weirder. By 1925, President Horacio Vazquez named Trujillo the commander of the Dominican National Police.
Yeah. The whole police? Oh, the whole nation?
Dominican National Police. Yep.
So it's like the feds.
Yeah, basically. Okay. 2 years later, he's named Brigadier General, which I don't know what the difference between that and what he was doing was.
Maybe it's just a second title.
I guess. And the next year, he reconstitutes the police into the army. Doing this, he created an independent police force under his own command.
So he had cops?
Basically, he's controlling the FBI, and then he's like, no, the FBI is now going to be military. Also, the FBI is... me. I am in control of all of them.
FBI, military, police.
Yeah.
Everybody's fucking in charge, but also not.
Yeah.
You know? Kind of. But, like, they're all in charge of each other for that one guy that's actually in charge.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how FBI, to dumb that down.
Okay, FBI acts, there's no political leaning. And same with Secret Service. Mm-hmm. No, there's not supposed to be.
Welcome to Sierra's Conspiracy Corner.
No, no, but my point is, no, like, they do the job for the nation, right. Not for...
Yeah.
So, like, if...
What if the nation is corrupt?
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm talking about U.S.
No, I know.
Which it also might be.
No way to know. We're speculating and postulating.
Then.
Yeah.
So he's got this police force going. He's got his own little group of police.
Yeah.
In 1930, during a rebellion against President Vasquez, Rafael makes a deal with the rebel leader.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Spaghetti-o.
Yep. Rafael Estrella Unreña.
All right.
They're both named Rafael. Everyone's named Rafael. We'll just call this rebel leader Estrella.
Okay. That's
easier for us to keep our shit straight.
Sounds good.
Basically, when Estrella takes the capital, Rafael kept his army in the barracks, allowing Estrella to take the city and proclaim himself acting president until they could have a legit election.
So, you know what?
So I'm gonna he goes take to the this, rebel leader.
And yeah. This is mine. And nobody else can have it because I said so.
Exactly. Well, no, but Rafael,
yeah.
By keeping his army out of the way, because
yeah.
His army is he supposed enabled to protect. It. Yeah.
Silly, enabler. silly enabler.
He's like, nope, I don't see anything.
Oh. Is there something more important going on over in Haiti? Because I don't care. The football game's on. I gotta watch that. I don't really. I don't know what's going on with everybody else.
Exactly. So then, they have this legit election. They're waiting to have this legit election.
Okay.
Estrella's standing president.
Okay.
And Rafael is head of the police and army. So now he has everything.
Yeah.
So then they put on a little show election.
Ooh.
Rafael runs for president.
Yeah.
And Estrella runs as his running mate.
Oh.
During the election, Rafael uses the army to harass other candidates, and Rafael is named president with 99% of the vote. He actually received far more votes than actual voters. How stellar.
Whoa, sounds familiar.
Yeah.
We know about that one.
Mm-hmm. 3 weeks after taking office, Hurricane San Xenon hits Santo Domingo.
Yikes.
Leaving ruins and 2,000 people dead.
Ooh.
Yeah. In response, Rafael places the Dominican Republic under martial law.
Oh, God, fucking damn it. Begins that's like not
rebuilding the city.
That's not.
And
that's
since not. It's the new city, he decides to rename it.
Oh.
He names it Ciudad Trujillo or Trujillo City.
Okay. You're doing it wrong, dude.
No,
that's
kidding.
Not what martial law is for.
No.
That's for like total, complete uprisings.
Yeah, it's like throwing paper towel at people. Trump did that. After a hurricane, he like went...
Oh, yeah. He was just chucking fucking package. How fucking corny, man. That's so embarrassing.
He's like, this is like an auction for these people.
Literally, this, like, oh, you need to get rid of water? I know what'll do the trick. Bounty. The Swiffer picker-upper. Paper towels.
Today's winner of the paper tower is... paper towel tower.
Is Mark Johnson. From New Jersey.
Not even, like, the hurricane area. Yeah.
Just some guy, he just gets it. It's like Publisher's Clearinghouse, but for fucking paper towels.
For disaster relief.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're taking this opportunity to rename everything, including streets and building landmarks.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's named Rafael.
That's fucking dope. Honestly, like, I get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Rafael's in power.
All right.
The sun is shining.
It sure is.
The tank is clean.
Oh.
His personality cult campaign is in full fucking swing.
Hell yeah, it is.
People are calling him El Jefe, or the chief.
Yes.
They're renaming bridges to honor him. License plates include praises to him.
Wow.
Churches are required to post signs saying, God in heaven, Trujillo on earth.
Okay, that's a little much. I'm just right. Kidding.
They did clean it up a couple years later, and they would say, Trujillo on earth, God in heaven, which I think has a better ring than the first way.
I don't like either of them. If you want to know my opinion, I don't like it.
Would you like it in Spanish? Because it's actually in Spanish.
Go ahead.
But I was not going to try that today.
Well, then why would you offer?
Crickets, man.
Okay.
He was even recommended for the Nobel Peace Prize. The committee declined his suggestion. Wild.
Wait.
And
he suggested himself.
Somebody suggested him. He might have been him.
He told somebody to suggest it. He said, you know what you should do?
I want a prize.
Smoking a fucking joint, just zooted out of his mind. You know what you should fucking do? You should go tell them to make me the Nobel Peace Prize winner. How fucking cool would that be, dude? That'd be so fucking sick.
Fucking El Jefe over
dude,
here.
Do it. You gotta do it. Call him tomorrow. Do you have their phone number? Do you want me to get it for you?
I can get it. I know a guy. Yeah,
I know a guy. It's me. I'm the guy. Ugh. God.
So from now on, El Jefe is basically president. Mm. Even when he wasn't president, the president was his puppet. They had term limits. They had like a single term limit.
Mm-hmm.
And after his first term, he's like, okay, we'll elect this guy. And he basically just used that guy. And then the next time he ran for re-election or something. I don't know how the rules work because it's irrelevant. But then he ran again.
Right. Or he's just getting different people to like. But then
he saw Roosevelt run for a third term and he's like, oh, we can do that too since the US did it. Totally different government. But he's like, we're going to do that here too. And
me too, me too. Third
term.
I can do that. I want to do it.
Whole time this is going on,
mm-hmm.
it's 31 years of him in rule and he only had one term. Wait, no. I guess he had three terms. But
right. Jesus Christ, dude. I don't understand what fucking like motivates people to want to be in charge of that much shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know either.
Like, at least Mobutu is out here fucking funneling money, siphoning money off the government. He said, you know what? I want a yacht and I want palaces.
Yeah.
And I want Mercedes's. I'm going to go fuck around and have fun. I'm not going to worry about this country. But this guy's like fully invested.
Yeah.
He's doing political shit. That's exhausting. Get a hobby.
Right.
Pick up knitting, you know?
Exactly. He did have a hobby.
Was it postage stamp collecting?
No, it was writing down a list of the people throughout the world he thought opposed him, wronged him, or might not like him. His little execution list.
That is such a good little hobby to have and not fucking crazy at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had another hobby.
Oh.
He allowed an opposition party to form just so he could see who opposed him. He's like, who's brave enough?
He's trapping him. He said, you know what? That's okay. Go ahead. I don't mind at all, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go for it.
So all those people
either
arrested or killed.
Yeah, for real. And then shamelessly. He's like, write it down. Write him down now. Hurry.
My God.
Ugh, God.
But this is all background.
Oh, goody.
He is not our guy today. This guy was fucked, but not nearly as much as his son.
Oh, no. He had a son. Was it a junior?
No. Okay. Almost.
Okay.
It's 1929. We're in the Dominican Republic. Future dictator Rafael Leonidas Trujillo and his wife, Maria de los Angela Martinez Alba, bring a baby boy into the world.
Welcome, baby, times two, part two.
Dictator and dictator wife bring baby.
Okay.
Yeah. Welcome, baby 2.0.
A dictator, when a dictator man and a dictator woman love each other very much, they have dictator sex. And then the dictator mom grows a dictator baby.
Yes.
And that's you.
And then they name him Ramphis? After the high priest in Giuseppe Verdi's opera, Ida.
Can you spell that first name for me, please?
Ramphis?
Yeah.
R-A-M-F-I-S?
R-A-M-F-I-S.
Ramphis?
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 CD-ROM?
CD-ROM. Rhombus.
Rhombus?
Rhombus. That's his name.
I think it's Ramphis. Ramphis?
Dominican Republic. That's like a
but it's
somewhat
Verdi.
Spanish-speaking.
Isn't Verdi? Verdi's Italian.
Spanish, Italian. It's like they're very much similar. Yeah. We don't know anything about anything.
Ramphis. Okay. We're just going with that.
I'm going with Rhombus.
Rhombus it is.
All right.
The first 2 years of his life, his dad helps take over the Dominican government and establishes himself as dictator.
Yep.
when he was either 4 or 14 years old.
That's a big gap, buddy.
Yeah. The reason is because there's an old wives' tale that it was 4, but I'm pretty sure it was 14.
Okay.
When he was 14. Yeah. When he was 14, dad makes him a colonel with pay and the same privileges that colonels would usually get.
14.
Yeah.
And the old wives' tale is 4.
Yeah. I can totally see it happening at 4.
I love it.
Because his dad is like...
I don't care either way. I love it.
Yeah.
That's fucking psychotic.
Absolutely.
In 1929, we didn't even know what a frontal lobe was in our brain.
No.
And we're just like, you know what? Give this kid a lot of power and also pay him.
Yeah.
Generously.
Yeah.
That was his allowance. You have to go out and be a colonel today or else you're not going to get your allowance.
Oh my God.
It's like, I don't want to. I want to play basketball with my friends.
No colonel money today.
Yeah. And then you don't get your colonel money for the week.
Wow, wow.
Yeah. Damn.
We're going to zoom ahead a couple years.
All right.
It's the early 1950s. Rhombus marries Octavia Reichart.
Okay.
And they have 6 kids.
That's a lot of kids.
Welcome, baby, times 6.
Welcome, baby. Welcome, baby. I'm not going to do all 6. That's exhausting.
Then guess what he does?
What?
He just had 6 kids. He leaves.
Bye.
Bye. So he leaves his wife and 6 kids to go study at the United States Army Command and General Staff College. That's a fucking mouthful. What? United States Army Command and General Staff College. That's USACGSCC? USACASUC?
USACASUC, bro. And that sucks. And that name sucks. And your college sucks. SUCS.
Just like name it something different.
Yeah. Be better. Do better, Army College of Natural People.
Administrative shooting. College. There you go.
Simpler. Administrative College.
USAAC.
Okay.
United States Administrative College.
Army Administrative College. USAA.
Oh, it's not United States of America. It's United States Army Administrative College. Oh, you're so smart.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyway, he does go to this military college in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
Okay.
But Rhombus did not like school, so he decided to skip class and go hang out in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, baby. Fuck yeah.
Uh-huh. There he becomes a little fucking playboy.
Yeah.
He was buying luxury cars.
Yeah.
He was giving girls mink coats and jewelry.
Yeah.
And he was having an affair with actress Kim Novak.
Okay. I don't know who that is, but go off.
She was in some stuff.
You feel like I am... American Dream. That was my rendition of American Dream. It was a cover of Teenage Dream. Thank you. He's living the American Dream. He's coming to America and he's going to Hollywood and he's buying fancy cars and he's fucking bitches.
Exactly. American bitches.
Yeah. And also that
band name called it.
That one lady. That one actress lady.
Kim Novak.
Good for him. American Dream, baby.
She's American.
Something.
Anyway, mid-century America was clutching their fucking pearls.
Yeah.
Because there's this guy from the DR just up here like...
Yeah, doing it.
Uh-huh. Also, this is a dictator's son in the United States.
Yeah.
Sleeping around, buying cars. And American taxpayers are paying for this with our foreign aid we're giving to the DR.
And we...
Our foreign IDA.
Okay, I was going to say, why aren't we putting our American dick in this? Out of all the things we've put our American dick in... Throughout this world.
Yeah.
Why are we not putting our American dick in this man? Thank you.
We're not cool with sticking our dicks in other dudes at this point, I don't think.
Oh, we're still not cool with it.
That's true. Heard it first here, folks.
Homophobia exists. Does anyone else know that homophobia exists?
Why the heck did Chris Rock slap, punch, kiss Ross in the penis?
God. So, literally, United States Congress people were wondering where this fucking money was coming from.
Yeah.
Like, how are you buying so many cars and mink coats?
Yeah, we're sending you this money and you're coming here and spending it on us. And I don't know how that works, and I don't know how I feel about it.
That's not the trickle-down effect.
That's not the economy I was planning on, I think, or something.
Literally. But culture do what culture do.
So, it really do.
Yeah. So Los Angeles bumper stickers started appearing that read, "This car was not a gift from Ramfis Trujillo."
We need to make a bumper sticker that says, "This car was not a gift from Rhombus." T.
Absolutely. All of this shit's going on.
Right.
While he's skipping classes at USAGUSUC. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. USAG, you suck.
At I guess college. It's, actually, it's USAGUSUC.
Well, USAG, you suck, so.
Yep.
At college.
Yep. He did not graduate.
No way.
Dad was fucking pissed.
He's out here fucking around being a dude.
Yeah.
Just doing whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah. Well, and if you really think about it, man.
Yeah.
When his dad was a kid, mm-hmm. they were poor-ish. Mm-hmm. And then he grows up. He has his son. And when his son is two, he's starting this political revolution. Mm-hmm. So his son is growing up in a nepotism baby world. Mm-hmm. Even though he wasn't born when they were wealthy, popping off.
Right.
He was born into...
power.
Yeah. Soon to be to power.
Nepotism power, baby.
Yep. Exactly. After college.
Yeah.
Going to the school.
Right.
Rhombus returns home. His wife, Octavia...
Welcome home.
...also happens to be pissed.
Oh.
She files for divorce.
Yeah. Me too, Octavia. I would also file from divorce from Rhombus.
Yep. And his dad sends him to get help.
Oh, good.
Militaryhistory.fandom.com's description of why makes me bat all of my eyes.
Okay.
And this is a trigger warning for this quote because it is intense.
Triggery. Skip, 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 skip. Go do it.
Ramfis's quote, "unruly behavior, including gang rapes of young women and frivolously ordering murders, forced his father to send him to a sanatorium in Belgium."
Not fucking Belgium.
Our stories are connected.
Our stories are connected.
I want to talk about that quote real quick.
Yeah, get into it.
Because militaryhistory.fandom.com really, like, fucked that up. Like, gave no detail where was he gang raping.
Right.
Who was he ordering to get murdered?
Yeah.
Why'd they say it so chill? Literally, it was like...
What are you being so lax about?
Yeah, like, he comes home from college,
mm-hmm.
he gets a divorce, and then he gets sent to the military hospital for these alleged things, and I'm like...
And no one has ever heard of them. Just
ultimate... It's just chill. It's like...
Oh, ultimate wiki fandom really said.
I don't know if he did that in the US. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Unruly behavior, sheesh.
Right.
Regardless, he ends up in Belgium at a mental institution receiving electroshock treatments.
Okay.
This wouldn't be his last day either.
Yeah. It's going to fuck him up. He's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go. I'm ready. What are we doing?
After his little trip, he moves to Paris and jumps back into being a little playboy.
Oui, oui, Paris.
Yes. And then Rhombus meets actress Lita Milan and falls in love.
Aww.
She was an American and her parents were Hungarian immigrants.
Okay.
Because she had dark hair, she was often cast as Latino or Native American.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's problematic. It's
so, they were perfect for each other.
It's so problematic.
They had two kids together.
Oh, great. Problematic little babies.
Yeah. Yep.
Little problems.
Mm-hmm. Then on May 30th, 1961... Rhombus' dad, Raphael, is assassinated, ending his 31-year rule of the Dominican Republic.
Uh-oh, spaghetti-o.
So, Rhombus rushes back home and starts targeting anything potentially connected to his father's death.
Yep. As one would, if you're fucking psychotic.
Uh-huh. So now he is essentially in charge,
mm-hmm.
but he does start easing out on his father's regime.
Okay.
He no longer is censoring press as much, and he's starting to grant citizens more civil liberties.
Oh, we're getting liberties!
But this is not considered enough, because the citizens, 30 years ago, that were kind of in support of Raphael, had come from 50 years of instability.
Right.
So, like, their parents went through the instability.
Right.
They were born, the world they're born into was unstable.
It was unstable.
unstable. Yeah. So the fact that there's this guy just grabbing the DR by the balls and saying, this is what we're doing, yeah, and having that confidence, and also like the whole martial law thing, like getting a city back in shape,
uh-huh,
after 2,000 people die, uh-huh, like he's seen as a hero.
Right.
And that's how he got away with it, because the people saw him as...
Yeah, the savior,
yeah,
basically, of, yeah, the Dominican Republic.
And he was painting himself as that.
Yeah.
But 30 years later, that's not the case.
Yeah.
They weren't thinking about being saved by this old guy that's getting assassinated.
Yeah.
They're thinking about Rafael's oppressive regime.
God.
So it's no longer, he saved us, we'll do anything. It's now he's controlling us.
Yeah. Uh-oh, yeah, your plan is backfiring.
Yeah. So people are not a fan of Daddy Dictator's son taking power.
Right. As one would be.
Mm-hmm. Rhombus is forced into exile.
Sick.
He packs his yacht, the Angelita, mm-hmm, with any of his surviving family members,
mm-hmm,
and even his dead family members.
Oh.
He literally brings his father's casket onto the ship, lined with $4 million cash, which is the equivalent of $27 million today, a bunch of jewels, and important papers. So he's got like this Noah Ark with his family, yeah, and a casket full of cash, jewels, papers, just chilling with his dad's fucking corpse.
I need you to go get dad. I need you to go get all the money, and I need you to go get the rest of the family. We have to go.
It's literally Brother 12, but different.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Just like, God.
Hey, get the boat and all the jewels.
Hurry.
We gotta go.
We gotta go.
Yeah. So they...
And don't forget dad.
Gotta bring the dead guy.
I swear to God.
So they end up in France initially, but by 1962, they're in Spain, where he goes back to being a playboy, what he does best. Mm. This time, taking on a new hobby of flying planes.
All right. We're just doing it all. We really are.
Yeah. I have no clue if he had any prior
plane flying experience. No, but he said, experience. You know what? I got dad. I got my money. I got my boat. I need a plane.
Yeah.
To put on the boat with dad and the money and the jewels and the family.
For someone that wasn't white, he's got big white man energy.
Yeah. For sure.
So we're in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1966.
Mm-hmm.
Rhombus buys a gorgeous blue Ferrari 330 GT. In December 1969, Rhombus crashes it into another driver. The other driver dies instantly, and Rhombus dies 11 days later in the hospital from complications from his injuries.
Thank God.
Yeah. The end.
What kind of car was it?
Ferrari 300 GT.
Thank you. 330
GT.
Thank you, Ferrari.
Right.
For making a really dumb, fast car.
Yeah.
That men think they know what the fuck they're doing when they drive it.
He didn't.
He didn't, and he died. And I thank you for your service.
Right?
Ferrari.
Thank you, Ferrari.
Oh, my God.
What? That's not the end.
Okay.
Raphael has a grandson.
No.
He's Rhombus's nephew.
No.
His name is Rhombus Dominguez Trujillo. Original. They got two names, Raphael or Rhombus. That's it. He went to high school and college in Miami and studied business.
Oh my God.
He's actually a pretty successful entrepreneur. In 2016, he decided to run for president of the Dominican Republic in 2020.
Just leave it alone. It's not working. Your grandpa couldn't do it. Your great-grandpa couldn't do it.
Your uncle.
Sorry, your uncle couldn't do it. And that other fucking guy that's somehow related couldn't do it. So why do you think you're going to be any different, Rhombus the second?
Literally.
Rhombus II, the streets?
Yeah. Ugh. So in 2019, his candidacy was rejected because he had dual citizenship and the Constitution of the Dominican Republic did not allow that.
Period. So, thank God.
Thank the fucking Lord.
Thank because God.
Although I know that he is not his uncle or his grandpa, it just sounds icky.
It's icky.
Like,
it's...
There's just things you shouldn't do, even if you're a good human.
Yeah. It's giving me political ick.
Yeah.
You know?
Oof, yeah.
Why are you doing that? That's what I'm saying. Why are you doing that? Why are we doing that?
I don't know.
Do something else. Get a different hobby than all the other hobbies that your fucking weird family had.
Literally.
Like making lists of people that need to die. Oh,
Colin and Sierra.
Yeah.
He's literally writing it down.
Yeah.
Colin and Sierra.
He's making must a list find them. Right now. Come get me, motherfucker. I'm just kidding. Could you imagine? Rhombus just shows up at my front door.
Rhombus.
Heard you were talking shit.
My God.
On your stupid little internet podcast. Well, shit. Dictators.
Dictators.
They
do be dictating.
They are. And you know what's funny? Not a lot of dictators nowadays.
There was almost one.
Yep. There's only one dictator now, right?
No. There's got to be at least more
North
than
Korea.
One. Yeah.
Dictator.
Well, there's close Cuba? Dictators.
Cuba?
Like, Russia is essentially a dictatorship.
Right. Cuba?
Maybe.
Fidel Castro.
No, he got castrode.
Castrouded. Yeah. Castrized. Anyways, we don't know what the fuck we're talking about. Hope you had fun listening to some dictator stories. And if you didn't, I don't know.
So.
What?
This is kind of a present day news notes app thought.
Okay.
You talking about chess.
Yeah.
Chess is in the news again. Chess player Hans Niemann denies using sex toy to help him beat grand champion.
What do you mean?
A teenage chess grandmaster has been forced to deny using a sex toy, anal beads, to help him claim his crown in one of the biggest scandals to hit the game in years.
How?
So this 19-year-old has been accused of using anal beads connected to a computer program that would vibrate and give him the perfect AI moves to defeat the number one grandmaster, Magnus Carlsen.
Magnus Carlsen
has been winning for a long time. And then this 19-year-old comes on the scene and everyone's like, he's got to be cheating. He's got to fucking be cheating. So I've been following this because I was like, oh, I have to tell Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it was just like, we think he's cheating, but how? And then they were like, maybe it's something in his shoes. Maybe he's communicating with a computer and the computer is giving him information. And then they landed on anal beads. I'm sorry.
Did they have any evidence to back up that claim?
I don't know.
What the fuck?
But also, like, the electronic thing, I'm like, so I just don't understand where they're coming from, where they're like...
What's the basis? Like,
they figured out it wasn't in his shoes, so they're like, anal beads.
That's the next logical step?
Yeah. So this guy says, if they want to strip me fully naked, I will do it. I don't care, because I know I am clean. You want me to play in a closed box with zero electronic transmission? I don't care. I'm here to win, and that is my goal regardless.
Period. Go off. I do not have AI-controlled anal beads in. I did not have affairs with those AI anal beads.
Just, like, fucking kidding me.
So was it giving him, like, Morse code? Did he have to learn Morse code?
I don't fucking know. I think it's just a conspiracy theory. Also, Elon Musk is involved.
Huh?
Elon Musk is tweeting about it, but the guy he was competing with, Magnus Carlsen, had tweeted saying, oh yeah, I know what's happening, but if I say anything, I'll be in trouble for saying it. So like, he sent out that cryptic tweet, and then Twitter freaked out, and then Elon Musk got involved, and I think he may be the one that said the thing about the anal beads.
Oh my God.
Isn't that batshit?
That's fucking crazy. Speaking of batshit.
And it's over chess.
I literally have to show you this because Jake, our wonderful boy, Jake, he reposted this on Facebook. And it's a flyer, like stapled to a telephone pole.
It's on the blog. We're in a basement.com. Go to episode 60.
Yeah. And it says, whose car? ? This car on our street has not moved in over a month. All caps.
Oh, yes, I've seen this before.
And then it's a picture of like a Honda. And then it has a little text box with an arrow pointing at the hood. And it says window on hood. And then there's another picture of a guy in the hood of the car in the window. You can see him laying there a on his man. Side. And Monday, Wednesday, Friday, there is a white man inside there. Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, there is an Asian American man in there. !!! I can't open hood in all caps. Who are the men? Always the same two gentlemen, bold, underlined. They will look at me, but they won't respond. They don't want out. What's going on with this car? It's not the kind of thing we want here. And it literally says, I want an entire Netflix doc about this. Me fucking too. I want to know what's going on. That's so fucking funny. Okay, the cats are screaming. We have to go.
Thanks for tuning in this week.
Thank you.
Love I know you. This was a really fucking long episode, but you guys killed it. Tuning in for two long stories about dictators and this bullshit.
One kiss. Love you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.